Oh, you dress her up a nun as a nun, get her a little Bible, and you teach her to say the spirit of Christ compels you. And she just screams that at people walking around. I think that'd be awesome.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not bad. You have a good week?
Yeah, you know, typical.
Yeah.
You know, typical.
You never have an exciting life anymore.
I don't. You don't. I don't.
It's very sad.
I came close to screaming at a woman in line at Checkers today, though.
Checkers? Oh, you're going to the high-quality hamburger stands, huh?
You know, they're... I think that there is just a guilty pleasure about once in a while going to the worst fast food restaurant there is. Where else can you get a Philly cheesesteak for $1.99?
That's true.
And, you know, it was the size of a hot dog, but still. It was just good enough. Just good enough. But there was this woman two cars ahead of me.
Yeah.
And I could tell from the way she was gesturing at the speaker box that she was an asshole.
Oh, jeez.
That instead of just ordering stuff, everything she was ordering had to be special. And for like 5 minutes, I just see her gesturing out the window at the box, and then finally she pulls up, and the guy in front of me orders, he pulls up, I order, I pull up, and we're stuck at the window because there she is.
Right.
And the guy hands her two bags of food. And suddenly she realizes she didn't order everything she needed.
Of course.
So she's handing him the credit card, and there's another 5 minutes of her hand flipping out the window, gesturing as she tries to explain what she wants. And I was so close to just saying, look, asshole, either order by the fucking number or get out of line and go inside. Not that you can do that at a Checkers, but you know what I mean.
Isn't there a window in the front?
There's a window in the front.
Okay, so she could have gotten out and...
She could have.
And said, you know, I'm not going to hold everybody else up.
Well, you know, she was an asshole, and she had one of those fish decals on the back of her window, so we know what that's all about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, so that was my weekend.
Nice. Do you consider Checkers the worst fast food?
Did I eat?
Well, that's out there. Not so much that you eat. What do you think is the worst?
The worst fast I'd had to me, the worst is Long John Silver's.
Yeah, well, since I don't eat seafood, I'm not really.
Well, sure they have chicken planks. You can get a chicken plank.
What, you know, is a
doesn't,
chicken
doesn't that
plank?
Just sound appetizing? A chicken plank?
No.
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 And it's got that nasty batter shit on it. It's just disgusting. It's gross. Very gross. So yeah. So other than that, you know. Week's been fine. How was yours?
It was all right.
Yeah.
Lots of work, lots of last minute crap, at, you know, for people who want videos. What am I going to do? You know,
exactly.
It's a living. Anybody who's listened to the show for a long time knows where I've come from. So
that's right.
The fact that it's video work is good, but it's one of those things where, like, no matter what you do, you have clients or customers or whatever you call them. The outside people who you service that are just fucking assholes and need things right away and don't care about timelines or due dates or any of that crap.
Well, I mean, that's the world, isn't it?
I guess so. I guess so. I don't know. I just, if, and I know what it is. It's the money. The money that these people are paying is a lot of money for the short turnaround. But when your company says we're not going to do that anymore, and hey, here's the new rules, it's got to be at least 2 weeks instead of 3 days, it just kind of pisses me off when I have to turn around and do something in 3 days.
Yeah, but you can't say anything because, you know, the customer's always right, regardless of how big of an asshole that they are.
I know. And like I said, they're paying a shitload of money to get it turned around quickly, which is where this is all coming from. But
right.
If I wasn't as good as I am, and I know that sounds like I'm patting myself on the back, but if I wasn't as good as I am, I'd have to work this weekend, and that would have just sucked.
But true.
I'm fast enough and good enough to where I know that I can get it done in the time I have allotted.
Exactly. So, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that's pretty much all I've been doing. It's been kind of a slow week. You excited about Halloween coming up?
I'm so excited about Halloween coming up.
Are you?
I am.
What are you going dressed as this year?
Favorite time of the year. I don't know yet.
You don't know yet?
I don't know yet. I might go as a Walmart shopper.
Okay.
Either that or Dr. Flamenco.
Dr. Flamenco?
Yes.
Why Dr. Flamenco?
Because I just think that's a really bizarre commercial. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
No.
Oh, you don't?
Could that just be a Florida thing?
No, it's a national telephone commercial, telephone service commercial. And it starts off with a bunch of people saying, hello, hola, como esta, mushy mushy. And then gradually there's, other interaction. And one guy is, I guess he's called somebody and the guy has answered. And he says, this is Dr. Flamenco. And he goes, Dr. Flamenco?
I'm looking it up. I don't see it on the internet. There is a whole bunch of Dr. Flamenco things, though. I don't think they...
One's a dentist.
One's a dentist, yeah.
Yes.
Otto von Schreierich? Schreierich?
Schreierich.
Yeah, whatever. That says Dr. Flamenco, too. I don't know.
Well, one of his tweets says... Are you the brightly colored man in a television commercial? And perhaps that is him.
Dr. Flamenco TV commercial. Oh, see, there's a Google thing for that. New Samurai Flamenco TV ad? That can't be right.
Is the Samurai a phone? It might be.
It's the Anime News Network, so...
Oh, that's not it.
So there's something called Samurai Flamenco on television. It's an anime series.
That's fabulous.
So there you go. It premieres on Fuji TV's late night Notomania programming block. Sure.
Oh, yes. I watch that all the time.
I know. So do I. So look for that. All right. Well, moving on. Since we can't find it.
There you go. People will just have to watch.
They'll just have to look for it. And let us know.
And then there will be a wave of interest in Dr. Flamenco's career.
Sure. Sure. Why not?
Yes. Anyway.
Anyway.
Anyway. Yes, it's Halloween. Halloween's awesome.
It is.
Halloween's awesome. I've been watching a lot of Halloween TV.
Have you?
I have.
Wait. Are you actually watching horror films, or are you watching like ABC Family, where their quote unquote Halloween films include like Nightmare Before Christmas?
No, I'm watching stuff like ABC's Shocktober.
Which is what? What kind of things?
Which is Halloween themed episodes of their TV shows.
Okay. I don't think today's TV has anything on like 90s TV shows when it comes to Halloween specials.
Well, by what do you mean?
Well, when you think about like the Home Improvement Halloween specials.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing that up.
And like Roseanne and stuff, where they went out of their way every year to do a Halloween episode.
Yes. Well...
Yes.
Now that Tim Allen has a new TV series.
Yeah.
Called Last Man Standing. They did a Halloween themed episode.
Okay.
And it was very similar to the Home Improvement type episodes. where the wife is trying to help her daughter with the elementary school haunted house. And this haunted house they produce is so over the top that no school could ever afford this thing.
Okay.
You know, it's thousands and thousands of dollars of animatronics and custom lighting and all this kind of stuff. But it was similar to his old home improvement type episodes. I thought it was really cool.
Okay. Well, then I take that back.
But so that was a win.
In general, you don't really see a whole lot of TV shows going out of their way to do a Halloween episode.
Oh, but. There was also Super Fun Nights. And Super Fun Nights stars Rebel Wilson from Showtime's Girls, I guess it is.
Do you watch that? Do you watch the...
I've been DVRing it because I run out of things to watch by Saturday afternoon. So sometimes I need to watch something.
Okay.
And it was a Halloween episode. And, you know, she's like the funny fat chick in the office.
Yeah.
And she's got a crush on her boss.
Yeah, okay.
And he asks her to go costume shopping with him. And she finds out that he has a thing for sexy vampires in the Elvira mode. And they end up picking out a couple's costume to wear to the office Halloween party. It's a chick magnet. So he's just wearing a big magnet around his neck, and she's dressed as a chicken.
And then at the end,
she's going to surprise him by changing her costume into the sexy vampire costume.
But
it kind of falls flat. She's like,
Rebel Wilson is kind of a big gal, isn't she?
Kinda. She makes Roseanne look skinny. And then at the end, they do a whole music video to Monster Mash, which was kind of cool.
Okay.
If the whole episode had held that energy, that would have been great, but it didn't. And then the third one was The Neighbors. If you're not watching The Neighbors, you really have to.
That's the alien
because
one, right?
The alien one. It is so clever because the aliens decide they are going to combine their two favorite holidays, Halloween and Hanukkah.
Okay.
Halloweenica,
okay.
So they decide they're going to have Halloween for 8 nights. And they don't know why kids aren't coming trick-or-treating all 8 nights. So the father alien gets a van and drives up to a playground and comes out with a big bowl of candy. And it's, come here, children, if you'd like candy, come closer to my van.
Jeez.
And he gets arrested. And through the whole thing, the family, the normal people, the typical Jamie Gertz and the fat guy,
right,
are trying to figure out a family costume to go to this costume party that an obnoxious family at the school is having. And their last name is Weaver. So one of the costumes they come up with is they're all covered in baskets. So they could be basket weavers. They end up going as a BLT, which is kind of funny. Because the mom and dad are big pieces of toast. One daughter's a strip of bacon. One kid's a lettuce leaf. One kid's a tomato slice. And when they all, you know, bunch together, they form a BLT, which is kind of cute.
Okay.
It was funny.
Okay.
It was enjoyable. It was in that old vein, you know, the Roseanne kind of thing. They go through several different family costumes, so I won't spoil it for anybody.
I didn't realize that they had been renewed. I kind of thought that was one of those shows that just quietly went away.
No, it's renewed. I really enjoy it.
Because, like, just, I thought Suburgatory had been canceled as well, because that's not on the schedule at all, but that's not coming back until, like, mid-season.
Yeah, that's one of those late things. Yeah. And since they're already canceling shows left and right.
Yeah, I'm kind of figuring that might
two more have been cut.
Which is?
Welcome to the Family, which had Mike O'Malley, and I can't remember the other one. It was so bad.
Mike O'Malley. Who's Mike O'Malley? Why does that sound familiar?
Because he's done a ton of sitcoms. He was in Yes, Dear.
Okay.
Wasn't
he on Glee?
Yes. So at least he has that to fall back on.
Oh, okay. Ironside?
Ironside's the other one that was canceled. Yes.
Okay. What was Ironside?
Ironside was Blair Underwood.
The cop drama with the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah, except his name is Ironside. He's not called Ironside because he's in the wheelchair. And it was very funny. They had a clip of it on The Soup in which they're at a crime scene. And because Blair Underwood's character is in the wheelchair, he can spot the gun that's sticking halfway out from under a pillow on the couch that the normal people who are standing upright could not see. So I guess that's his secret power.
Oh, okay.
That and getting canceled after one episode.
Sounds thrilling.
Yes. But another great show that you have to start watching is Coven. American Horror Story, Coven.
Oh, is that, has that started yet?
That has started. This will be the third episode.
Okay.
It is awesome. Any show that can work the word pickaninny into the opening episode is a win. It starts off with crazy Kathy Bates looking like Mary Todd Lincoln, who's a plantation owner's wife. And what she does is she tortures her slaves in the attic.
Nice.
There's a scene of her walking through them and they're all in cages and boxes and one's got his mouth and his eyelids sewn shut and others are being chained up spread eagle. And one of them, she caught having sex with her daughter.
Nice.
And she's got him chained spread eagle at the end of the wall. And she goes, "Where's my pickaninny with the head?" And this little black kid walks in holding a bull's head.
Nice.
Which she puts on the guy and starts talking about, "Oh, the Minotaur, it was such a famous mythological creature, and now I have my own." And okay. Needless to say, he's the boyfriend of Marie Laveau. This takes place in New Orleans.
Right.
Marie Laveau, the voodoo witch.
Uh-huh.
So she curses her, and next thing you know, it's modern day, and you've got whack job Jessica Lange. It's really unnerving seeing the same actors playing different characters.
From season to season?
From season to season.
Yeah, because you're used to them as one character, and then all of a sudden there's somebody else.
I mean, I love the concept that it's a one-season show, and that's the end of it, and then next season, totally different story, plot line, characters, the whole nine yards. But Jessica Lange is the supreme witch, and her daughter runs a finishing school for young witches.
Oh, kind of like Harry Potter.
Kind of like Harry Potter. One girl is this bitchy teen movie star. One of them is Precious. Gabori Sidibe.
Is that where she ended up?
That's where she ended up.
Wow.
And this one, her name's Queenie. And there's a couple of other girls. And they're not full-blown witches, but they each have, like, special powers.
Yeah.
Like, the retarded girl who is Jessica Lange's daughter in the first American Horror Story is in this as one of the witches.
Okay.
And she's able to read minds. And Precious is able to inflict pain on herself but not get hurt. She's able to reflect that onto somebody else.
Okay.
Like she's working it like a KFC.
Nice.
And some guy comes up and goes, "Hey, the large bucket's supposed to have 8 pieces. This one's only got 7 and she's like, "Look, I packed that myself. I know there was 8 pieces. You're just trying to rip me off and get one for free. Why don't you just go away?" And this guy's giving her a hard time, so she takes her arm and pushes it into the boiling grease. And then suddenly his arm starts boiling up and bubbling and getting all crispy. It was really cool.
Nice.
But by the end of the episode, they have found that Kathy Bates, her curse was immortality. And right. She's buried in the garden of the house she owned. So they dig her up. And she tries, you know, they have to get her to acclimate to modern life. And she becomes the maid.
Nice. Okay. I'll have to see if that's on demand. It should be. It should be on demand.
Yeah. It's like 8 days behind. So you can't watch it until like the day after the new one premieres. Then you can watch the old one.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have to do that.
But it was really, I really liked it better than last year's setup. This one got you right into it. and the characters were kind of what you expected for this, you know, whole concept. They're kind of over the top, and there's the whole horror element to it, and it's kind of cool. So,
and anybody can jump into this, right? You don't have to have seen the other.
No, seasons. Not at all. This is a brand new show.
Right. Okay.
2 episodes in. You don't have to watch the old ones. You don't have to know who they played before.
And it looks like it's doing pretty well in the ratings.
Yeah, it seems to be.
I pulled it up when I pulled up the ratings when we were talking about Ironside,
mm-hmm.
which had some really, really shit ratings. And that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 overall for Wednesday night.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's above Major okay. League Baseball.
Wow, top
yeah.
10.
Yeah. But it's not as popular as Duck Dynasty.
Well, you know, that's because they pray at the end of it. That's what I was told.
But, you know, Toy Story of Terror, which was a one-off, beat the crap out of Duck Dynasty.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to show that another 15 or 20 times before the end of the month, so.
Either ABC or ABC Family.
ABC Family, yes. Yes.
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet. I've got a DVR.
Okay. It's cute. I mean, it's
yeah.
it is what it is. I mean, they took a short story and involved the Toy Story characters, you know, for what it's worth.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of disappointed in like the networks this year.
Why is that?
Because, you know, like in the past, Travel Channel would do a bunch of original programming, and now they're just doing episodes of Ghost Adventures. And I can't stand that guy because he's a douchebag.
That's not the... Wait, which one's Ghost Adventures? Is that the...
That's Zach Baggins, the guy who wears the black t-shirts with the, you know, crosses on it. And
is that the group from, like, Penn State, or is that somebody else?
Oh, that's somebody else. They're not on anymore. That was Paranormal State.
Paranormal State, okay.
Yeah, that's dead.
Okay.
Like most of their clients.
No pun intended.
Yes. But they're just showing reruns of Ghost Adventures, and it's like, eh, whatever. And then, you know, even HGTV used to do Halloween-themed episodes where they had This Old House or If Walls Could Talk, and then they'd go to, like, haunted houses instead of historic houses, and, you know, they'd do, like, Halloween parties with the neighborhood, and they're not doing that anymore, and, you know, it's disappointing.
Well, even sci-fi, I mean, for a while, they had that gold mine with Ghost Hunters where they would do,
yeah.
like, the live show on Halloween.
Yeah.
And they don't do that anymore either.
I think it went downhill when the other guy quit.
When
Grant went away, I think he knew it was the end of the roller coaster and he was getting off. And the other guy is still trying to push.
I guess. I just think it... All the reports that you heard of... Like, they're setting shit up to happen during the telecast. Because, I mean, they can't have a telecast where nothing happens.
Right.
You know? But, like, the first year, they did that. The first year, it was, like, a straight-up investigation. And then, all of a sudden, shit starts happening every single
right.
year. And
right.
you're like, come on. Fucking stop.
Yeah. Well, you know, now they have Ghost Mine.
Yeah. What the fuck?
It's like, really? So, basically, you're going to take your infrared camera into any place dark...
And could be considered creepy.
And let people's imaginations run wild.
Yes, because that's all that is.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's sad. I want to see real spooks.
Well, I mean, it's no different than, like, them just jumping on all this crap with, like, Paranormal Activity. I mean, they're going to...
Yeah.
There was a trailer that came out the other day for one of the Paranormal Activities. It's called, like, The Marked Ones, where it's...
Is this the one with the Mexican twins or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. And it's like, okay, now you're just fucking going crazy. Now it's the Saw thing. Like, hey,
right.
everybody likes these. Let's do one a year.
Right. And pretty soon it'll get to be like the Halloween franchise, where like the third Halloween movie had nothing to do with the first two Halloween movies.
Right, exactly.
Like, oh, we'll just put our name on it.
Exactly.
Oh,
and
okay.
like Paranormal Activity, like the trailer talked about Katie, who's the main person from the first one and the second one or whatever. And they're talking about her, but they're only mentioning her in like passing. And it's like, well, that's how they're going to fucking tie it in.
Right.
It's not really about her and the story that you've known so far.
No, it's somebody who saw that story on TV and suddenly it starts happening to them.
Or I think in the second one, they have a Spanish housekeeper.
Oh, of course.
Who tells them how to get rid of... Did you see either one of the...
No.
Paramount? Okay. So one of the cool things that I must admit about the first two movies is they fit inside each other. So what you realize watching part two is the first half of part two takes place before part one. And you can put the first movie into Paranormal Activity 2, and then when it ends, pick up the rest of Paranormal Activity 2. So it's one complete story. Which was clever. You hadn't really seen that in a found footage movie, but, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, that's fine. And in part two, they have a housekeeper who tells them, because the activity actually starts with the sister, not the Katie chick, and they kind of pawn it off on Katie. Like, the only way to get rid of this out of your house and away from your baby is to pass it along to a relative. So they send
pass it, along the curse?
The curse. So the curse gets passed to Katie, which is how the original movie starts. Although you don't realize that that's what's going on. And then in Paranormal Activity, they send it, they do something to get rid of it or send it back or whatever. And that's where the rest of Paranormal Activity 2 happens. So I'm thinking that this is the son or somebody of the housekeeper. And they've cursed themselves by helping to destroy this poor girl's life or whatever.
Oh.
But I don't know.
That's sad. Knock, knock. Who's there? Curse. Curse who? You're cursed. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. The way to get rid of the curse is to give it to somebody you're related to.
It was something like that. They had to pass it on to a relative.
Wow.
And in order to save his wife, the guy passes it off to his sister. And that's how Katie gets possessed or whatever and then kills her boyfriend.
What a douchebag.
Well, then she comes back and kills him. So it's all right.
Oh, well, you know, that's good then.
He gets his comeuppance.
Oh, good, good.
She then goes and kills the dude that sent the spirit over there and her sister and then takes the baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. Well, you know.
But it's all in the family, so you know it's good. It's good. Yeah, that's great.
Because I don't think part three was a prequel, and then part four, they kind of came back and kind of involved the Katie chick, but not really. So I haven't watched that one. That's on Netflix. You know, that'll be when I'm done with everything else that I'm watching.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Speaking of Halloween movies, would you like to know the 13 movies that will scare you senseless?
Can I guess?
Well, they're on separate pages, so no.
Well, fine.
It's not like it's a list.
It's one of those BuzzFeed things, isn't it? Where you gotta click through the photos.
It's on Reader's Digest.
Oh. So. The toilet magazine.
Yes.
So, well, go ahead.
Okay.
Blow my mind.
Number 13 is House of 1,000 Corpses.
Yeah.
By Rob Zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you like The Nerdist Chris Hardwick's in it, and the dude from The Office is in it. What's his name? Rainn Wilson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Walton Goggins is in it.
Who's that?
Oh, he's been in everything. He was in The Shield and a whole bunch of stuff.
Okay.
Number 12 is Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
From Tim Burton.
Okay.
Number 11 is the original Halloween, 1978.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the remake a couple years ago by Rob Zombie, because that one sucked. Number 10 is The Changeling in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
A vengeful ghost in a haunted house and the approval of Martin Scorsese. What more could you want? Okay. Number 9 is the original Amityville Horror.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a scary movie. Number 8 is Pet Sematary. 1989. Not Pet Sematary 2, Pet Sematary. Poltergeist, which scared the crap out of me as a child. The next one on their list is Paranormal Activity, the first one. Which I don't know how scary that could technically be. I mean, there's some cool effects in it and stuff, but... the next one is The Grudge, the original, the Japanese one. Not the crappy remake. With the little kid with the black eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's kind of strange. Number three is the recent Evil Dead.
Really?
Not the original, but the remake.
Yeah.
Which I saw and I didn't think was nearly as good as the original.
Hmm.
Number two is a Japanese movie called The House, 1977. Let's see what their number one is. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Hmm.
So there's a nice night of viewing for, you know.
And I would have to say, I haven't seen one of those movies.
You've never seen any of those?
Nope. Not a one.
And then they say if it's too scary, you can always go see Hocus Pocus.
I love Hocus Pocus.
I know. That's why I brought it up.
Amok, 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 amok. It's hilarious.
You and my wife love that movie.
It's a great movie.
I've only seen part of it.
Really? You should watch it. It's very entertaining.
The only thing that always gets me when my wife is watching it is that Sarah Jessica Parker doesn't really look like a horse in that.
Yes, she has very good makeup in this one.
Yes, it hides the nose.
It does, yes.
And the nose.
Hides the schnoz. The schnoz.
She's not an attractive woman.
No.
Just saying. Hey, since we're on like Halloween spooky stuff, did you see the story this past week about the drug that heroin addicts are taking now?
Is that Molly?
Is that... I don't know if that's what it's called, but it gets you really high, but then it starts to eat your skin.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of creepy. And it's like gaining popularity. It doesn't kill you, but you lose like big chunks of skin and like... You could lose like limbs, and they show pictures on the news and there's like half a guy's neck that's gone, and it's really fucked up.
Hmm.
And at first I thought they were just doing it for fucking like Halloween sake, but nope.
Interesting.
Yep. What is this?
I don't know. What is it? Do sell.
The headline is Mr. Spock Goes to Church, How One Christian Copes with Asperger Syndrome. In the book, Jim and Casper go to church. An atheist turns to a Christian minister as they are watching a Sunday morning church service and earnestly asks, "Is this what Jesus told you guys to do?" Wow. Okay. Did you know that the plural of people with Asperger syndrome are called Aspies?
Okay.
That's what it says.
Okay.
I'm not going to read the whole thing because it doesn't really look interesting, but it caught my attention by the title.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
Did you ever wait in the pumpkin patch for the Great Pumpkin?
No.
No?
No.
Did you ever go trick-or-treating and get a rock?
Not that I can recall.
No?
No.
Hmm. Okay.
Why?
Just making conversation.
Oh, okay. Another thing here on CNN is, since we're talking like movies and stuff, the set from Star Wars Episode One, I think I talked about this with Mark, is being swallowed by the Sahara Desert.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are living there are like in danger of like losing their lives because of the sand.
Oh. Why are they living on the set of Star Trek Episode One?
Star Wars Episode One?
Star Wars Episode One.
Because it's free buildings.
But I mean, there've been crowdfunding projects to get them, you know, reclaimed and stuff, and it's like, but why?
I mean, I think it'd be interesting if you were in Africa and you had, you know, some vacation time or whatever, you're a big fan of Star Wars, to go to see like the actual sets where they film the stuff. But I mean,
and hopefully not die on the way.
Well,
to
I wouldn't make like a pilgrimage like some people do.
No, you would just randomly happen to be there.
No, if they were like, we got to stop in Tunisia, I'd be like, hey, let's go to the Star Wars thing. You wouldn't want to live. You wouldn't want to spend a night at the hotel where they shot Episode Four.
The hotel where they shot episode four?
The Lars Homestead, you know, that big like underground thing that's actually a hotel.
That's a hotel?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You're lying.
No, I'm serious.
You're lying.
Serious.
Lying. Like a brook.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Lying like a brook.
Look it up. Are you looking it up? Look up Lars Homestead Hotel. You can hang out and you can like sleep in what supposedly was like Anakin's room. Or Luke's room or whatever.
Yeah, I'm on Google Maps looking at the Lars Homestead.
Yeah. No, not Jesus. Not the exterior of, you know, where Aunt Owen or Uncle Owen and Aunt Peru were burning. Lars Homestead Hotel.
Oh, it's only $10 a night. I wonder why.
Did you find it?
Yes.
Okay. The City Driss Hotel in Matmata?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was famous in the 1960s for its network of traditional troglodyte cave dwellings.
Hey, whatever.
Interesting.
So see, like, I think that would be interesting to go see.
Yeah,
if
no,
you're
not
in
me.
Tunisia. I mean, if you're there.
If you just happen to be in Tunisia, passing by.
Yes, absolutely. I wouldn't sit there and be like, I wouldn't go to my wife and say, where do you want to go on vacation this year? Let's go to Tunisia. Let's go on a tour of the Star Wars filming locations.
Oh, because that would lead to divorce.
Maybe that's how I start that.
Hey, careful. Careful.
What?
Just saying.
You know, careful. If I'm not going to take my lazy ass over to California and look at, like, set pieces and props and shit from movies I love, why would I go all the way to Tunisia?
Well, if you just happen to be there.
If I just happen to be in L.A.?
Or Tunisia. Yes.
I mean, okay, so you're on a global flight to I don't know where, and the plane starts to break down. They're like, look, we have to land in Tunisia. It's going to be a week before the plane gets fixed. Well, then you fucking go look.
Of course.
You wouldn't want to go see, like, what's your favorite movie of all time?
I don't know.
You don't have a favorite movie of all time?
No, there's too many. There's too many.
What's one of those movies that if it's on TV that you will stop and watch? Like to the end. You know how everybody has those movies?
Okay,
I'll give you an example. If Goodfellas is on, no matter where it is in the movie, if it's on and I flip to it, I'm on it to the end.
Really?
Yes. Ocean's 11 the same way. Don't ask me why. They're just two movies that I really enjoy. You don't have movies like that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, that went nowhere.
Yeah, that was a great time filler.
So awesome. I guess everybody's going to want to know, John, did you watch the Brony documentary?
I did. It was very interesting.
Yeah, do tell. Come on.
No, it was kind of typical of any other fan convention type movie where they're trying to show that these are just people and they're kind of awkward, but they all get along and this is how they socialize. And, you know, it was like Trekkies with, what's her name? Denise Crosby.
Yeah.
This was Bronies with John DeLancey.
Oh, Jesus. No, it was John DeLancey a Brony? He was on the show.
He is the voice of Discord.
Discord, yeah, okay.
You know Discord.
I told you, my daughter watches the show.
Okay. And it was just kind of interesting. I mean, it wasn't, here's a bunch of freaks, and let's make fun of them. It was kind of, John DeLancey goes to a breakfast at one of the conventions for military fans of My Little Pony.
There is a convention for military fans. There's enough.
No. There's a regular convention. Yeah. And one of the activities was a breakfast for the military.
Okay.
And there were quite a few who had shown up and, celebrated their bronyism. And Tara Strong showed up and gave them slap bracelets. And now they were all excited.
Is there any explanation given as to why these guys love My Little Pony so much?
Because they feel that the messages are kind of close to the military's messages. You know, honesty and friendship and loyalty and magic, you know, because the military stands for magic as far as I'm concerned. So that's kind of why these people seem to be gravitating towards it. And they're like these little life lessons at the end where, who is it? The unicorn recaps her learnings to Queen Celestia. Is that what her name is?
I think so.
Okay. It wasn't anything like, oh my God, you have to see this. It was just like, oh, okay.
So, but not all bronies are military. People.
No, there was a lot of it was about the males.
Yeah.
And there were like a bunch of kids from like North Carolina who were talking about how they were kind of like outsiders to begin with. And then one guy goes and gets this huge My Little Pony decal put on his back window and he gets attacked at a gas station because of it.
Well,
kind of like, okay, well, I guess there are other reasons to attack you, but. And then they show like the My Little Pony rave where this guy from Israel makes My Little Pony fan music and he's called the Living Tombstone.
Oh, wait, we got to look this up. The Living Tombstone?
The Living Tombstone. He's from Israel.
Eurobeat Brony.
Yes.
Oh, he's got a YouTube channel. Everybody go to youtube.com/user/ the Living Tombstone, all one word.
Yeah.
He's also got a SoundCloud.
Kind of, yeah, he's kind of out there.
Wow. Now, does he? Oh, that's just like what he likes on SoundCloud. After watching this, do you have more respect for bronies or less respect, or like what did you come away with as far as, you know?
I think I came away with they're just as freaky as any other division of nerd culture, whether they're into anime or they're into Star Wars or they're into superheroes, they're all a bunch of freaks. But when you come down to it, at least they're socializing and have friends. So, you know, it's that old adage, there's somebody for everyone.
Do they bring up the dark side of bronyism? Did they bring up Cloppers?
They mention it very quickly and then move off it.
What did they say?
They talk about different type of bronies and says, and then there's the Clops, but we won't talk about that here.
Oh, come on. You have to shine the light on everything.
Nope.
Because then it's not a truly unbiased documentary.
Well, it's not. It's a documentary about the bronies, not about the Cloppers.
Yeah, but the Cloppers are the far side of the bronies.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. There was a teenage boy, and they're talking to his family, and the mother's explaining how he likes to play with Legos, and he likes video games, and blah, 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 blah. And then he told me he wanted to go to this comic book convention with one of his friends, but she looked it up online and couldn't find anything about it. So he finally came clean and told her it was a brony convention. And, you know, after much hemming and hawing from her and her husband, she decides she's going to take him.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so, and then the father ends up going, and then they meet John DeLancey there, and he introduces them to another father and son who are there, and, you know, the two fathers go off and talk about, you know, the son's fascination and blah, blah, blah. But there's the upshot of the whole thing was that, you know, it's kind of nice that these men are accepting of these kind of female traits, like caring and, you know, that kind of shit.
Right.
So, yeah, it wasn't a... I mean, there were a hell of a lot of freaks on this. Hell of a lot of freaks.
Well,
but I think it's just typical of any kind of fan culture. It's like, so you dress up as you know, Pinkie Pie. Why is that any different than dressing up as, you know, Gold Bikini Leia?
Yeah, well.
Well, what's the difference?
Well.
Yes.
Okay. Even in the Star Wars community, the dudes that dress up as Gold Bikini Leia are looked at just the same way that the bronies are.
Well, I mean, I just mean in general, the women who dress up as Gold Bikini Leia, or the guys who dress up as Han Solo, or Captain America, or a zombie.
But you don't think there's some kind of weird line you cross when you're dressing up as a female pony and that you're a dude?
No, because people do that. In the anime thing, there's a character that's a boy, but when he gets wet, he turns into a girl or something like that, or somebody who turns into a girl when he gets angry.
What kind of shit are you watching?
I swear to God. Swear to God.
Did they have tentacles in this one, John? You into the big hentai tentacle thing?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay, come on, hit me.
Okay, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
That's what the brony said. You having trouble? You need help? What are you doing?
Well, somebody's asked the question about an anime character where a boy turns into a girl. Here we go. Anime about this guy. We turned into a girl. It was pretty weird. Yeah, so apparently it was this guy who turned into a girl, and she goes to school with a female best friend. It was really weird, so I just ditched it. But now I'm curious about what the heck I was attempting to watch.
Yeah. Wasn't that on one of the Disney channels?
Kashimashi?
No, I thought there was an American version of that. What is that?
What's what?
Was that you?
What?
That noise.
What noise?
Never mind. Never mind. Let's see. Shazow.
That's the American version?
Shazow is on the Hub.
Uh-huh.
And it's the first gender-bending cartoon superhero.
No, this wasn't it. This was...
Guy is a normal 12-year-old boy who loves video games and skateboarding. But when he finds a magic ring, he is transformed into a female superhero, Shazow. Almost like a gender-bending Green Lantern, Shazow isn't a masculine sinewy X-Men, but more like Wonder Woman, complete with pink skirt, thigh-high boots, and a pink car for saving the world. Finding stiff competition in children's television market, the competitors like the Disney Channels and Nick Jr., The Hub, a channel for children and tweens, launched in 2010, has found success with such series as My Little Pony and Transformers. And it says gender switching has been featured in comics before, such as popular manga and anime series Ranma 1/2. I don't know if that's supposed to be Ranma half. And even Archie characters switched genders last year in an alternative universe story, Reversedale. So yeah, there's an American version called Shazow.
And that sounds like an American version.
Okay.
Yeah, bizarre. Anyway.
So when Guy finds the magic ring, the secret phrase he must say to transform into Shazow is, "You go, girl."
All right.
So there you go. See, I think that's a little weird, too.
Do you?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which is when you said that, which is why I thought of this, because I remember seeing a commercial for this and somebody talking about how he turns into a girl. Okay, you don't hear that buzzing?
Yeah, it's my dryer. I'm going to go check on it. I don't know what the hell it's doing. Stand by.
All right.
And we're back.
Are you back now?
I'm back now.
All right. So what was going on? Everything okay? Did you have a fire?
It was okay. No, I don't know why the dryer was buzzing at me to open the frickin' door. Okay, you're done. Good for you. Yeah, so anyway, it was kind of, that's kind of where it's at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not nearly as you know, exciting as any other freaky.
And what was the name of this documentary, in case somebody wants to see it?
It was called What the ! Bronies?
Okay. You want to go over 30 bisexual celebrities?
Not really.
No? Okay. What site is this? Oh, it's Huffington Post. That's why. Anyway. What else is going on? Anything?
The government reopened. That was kind of big.
It did. But now they're saying we're even more fucked because of the amount of money it's going to take to get everything back to where it should have been.
Yeah, like $24 billion.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Tea Party.
Yeah, well, you know. Shit happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, welcome to America.
Hey, so Charleston is having its first science fiction and fantasy convention in November.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Called Atomicon.
Atomicon?
Yes.
Like A-T-O-M Atomic?
A-T-O-M-A-C-O-N.
Ah.
Atomicon. And I was looking at their website today, and they only have two guests.
Oh.
One's an author and one is a science and technology guest.
Wow, that should be exciting.
And master of ceremonies is somebody named Rich Siegfried.
Uh-huh.
But he goes by Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Oh, well, that's important.
Yes.
So you can technically
go around calling yourself Podcasting's John. So you like, I could walk around saying, "No, I'm Podcasting's Chris from Dance Monkey Dance."
Oh, of course.
You should put that on a business card.
Podcasting John from Dance Monkey Dance?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think so.
No.
No.
No. But I was looking at this, and there's going to be a dealer's room, and there's going to be artists and all this kind of stuff. And where was it? You can register to be a guest through their website. You can be a special author guest or a special media guest.
Well, you should go as a special media guest.
Well, it classifies it as actors or actresses, producers or directors. And I don't know if Harley and Selena counts as me being a director.
Well, what do the other two have on you?
Well, that's true. Or other guests of honor or special guests. But the committee will consider other guests of honor and special guests in other areas of interest on a case-by-case basis. These can include paranormal, comics, science, and music. What's Filk? Because it's music / Filk.
They're parody songs. It came out of the Star Wars conventions. Okay. Filk singing instead of folk singing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can be an author guest, a self-published author guest, an independent comics artist, science and technology guest, a blogger, which I don't think podcasting falls into, group guests. So, like, if you come up here, we could do, like, a Dance Monkey Dance thing.
And when is this?
November 8th.
Can't do it.
Ah, you suck.
I'm booked.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I was thinking, like, oh, well, maybe they'll get somebody good to come to fucking Charleston. No. It's an author. Some guy that writes in another magazine.
That's exciting.
Yeah. What the fuck, Charleston? Or I could apply to be a panelist.
Ooh.
Being a panelist commits you to 2 or 3 panels. Applicants that are new and not as established in their field can qualify as a panelist instead of a guest. As a panelist, you don't get in for free. You get a discounted badge.
Oh. Well, that sucks.
Yeah, well. Let's see how much this actually is. Like, if I was actually going to go over and, like, see what this is all about.
Yeah.
An author / media table is $15. Oh, fuck, dude. We should get a table. What the hell? Wow.
It'll be us and 2 other tables.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's see what the events are. There's an opening ceremony. Writing a collaborative work. And then there's a Danny Burt concert, whoever the fuck Danny Burt is. Comedian Dusty Slay and friends.
Dusty Slay?
Dusty Slay.
Okay.
He is the 2011-2012 winner of the Charleston Comedy Festival stand-up competition. I didn't even know we had that. And then karaoke.
Ooh, karaoke.
There's a producing your own fan film. There's... At 8 o'clock on Friday, you can do the Air Traffic Control Simulation Network.
Wow.
There's a costume contest. There's a 501st is doing So You Want to Be a Stormtrooper. Costumes, do's and don'ts. Writing from an image workshop. From word to film, getting your novel to screen. Writing as the other, Hunger Games. Has BBC America become the next sci-fi channel?
No.
Walking Dead, write a novel in 30 days, Skeptics versus Believers. Oh, I want to sit on that panel. Future video games, Ghostbuster costuming and props from the Carolina Ghostbusters. Writing steampunk.
Seems to be an awful lot of stuff for a little shitty convention.
I'm thinking, yeah. And that's just Friday. I haven't even gotten to Saturday yet. And Friday goes from 5 p.m. to midnight.
Wow.
Let's see if there's anything that's costuming on a budget, Star Wars and Disney, a match for the dark side or the light side. R2 building a fan inspired vehicle, and they're going to have an Ecto-1, a Batmobile, and a couple other things there.
And what's it cost to get into this convention?
It's $35 for 3 days.
It's not bad.
Star Trek.
Does it include lunch?
No, of course not. Harry Potter trivia. Emerging technologies. Marvel versus DC. But see, most of these are going to be in little breakout rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And like three guys arguing about like nerd etiquette.
Right.
Which is an actual panel. How to document your costume. Oh, here's one I could sit on. Intro to podcasting.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, I'm going to write to these people. You sure you don't want to come up for this?
I can't. Okay. I really can't.
Okay. All right. Oh, they're going to have a filking 101.
Oh, we'll see. There you go. Maybe you'll get filked.
50 years of Doctor Who. So you want to start a blog. Steampunk, medieval music show, blah, 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 blah.
Ooh, that would be exciting. The medieval music show.
How to get your work rejected. Our guest of honor will give you pointers about the more common errors that people make when you're trying to break into the writing field. Cookies and filk is the last thing of the day. All right, I'm gonna read. I'm gonna try to get on a panel.
All right, so all of our North Carolina fans could check you out.
South Carolina.
Yeah whatever.
You can come if you're from North Carolina too.
Yeah, you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't they marry their cousins up there?
Possibly. Yeah, I'm gonna have to check this out. I could be a guest at a fucking convention. That'd be interesting. All right, well, enough of this. You have anything else that you want to talk about before we go?
Nah, I'm good.
No?
I'm good.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can check out the Facebook page, which I am sorely behind on, and I apologize.
Yes, but there's new content as of today.
Is there? Did you
as
post
of this
something?
As of this podcast? This podcast, yes. Okay. That's what I meant to say.
Very cool.
Yes.
See, this is why I gave you fucking control, like admin rights.
Yes.
Because I knew that you would.
Because it's well worth it.
Yeah. Well, you know. So you can get in touch with us there, or you can follow us on Twitter at Dance Monkey Pod, or go to dancemonkeypodcast.com and listen to all the other shows and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
Dr. Flamenco.
Have a good week.